It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Jury selection starts tomorrow in the trial of Dallas County Commissioner John Wiley Price. He faces charges of accepting nearly $1 million in bribes in exchange for providing insider information and voting in favor of certain projects. KERA's Bill Zeeble reports on what's at stake for one of the most visible African-American political voices in North Texas.
Soon after John Wiley Price was arrested in the summer of 2014, a swarm of reporters and cameras surrounded the longtime county commissioner. He didn't say much.
Not guilty.
John Wiley Price's executive assistant, Daphne Fain, was also charged. So were two political consultants, Kathy Neely and Christian Campbell. Sarah Saldana, then the U.S. attorney, laid out the case in the 13-count indictment.
Commissioner Price sponsored and advocated Mrs. Neely's client's interests, and he voted on these matters in a manner that benefited her clients. In return, Ms. Neely provided Commissioner Price with a stream of benefits in the form of cars, land, and cold hard cash, totaling approximately $950,000.
Price is charged with 11 counts, including conspiracy to commit bribery and deprivation of honest services by mail fraud. He's accused of leaking confidential information on contract bids to the clients of Neely and Campbell to help those businesses land the contracts. Soon after Price's arrest, longtime supporters like Deborah Culberson came to his side.
It's a raw deal. You know, this is a very successful man, pull himself up, didn't have nothing, come here trying to help people. And all the people he's trying to help, a lot of them stabbing them in the back.
The late Juanita Wallace, who was president of the Dallas NAACP chapter when Price was arrested, talked with KERA in 2014.
African Americans, he has stood up for us when other people have not. It appears to me it's a high-level profiling issue. It's another way to say to everybody, if we can bring John Wiley Price down with some of the accusations or allegations that's being made, we can bring every other person down.
In the summer of 2015, political consultant Christian Campbell pleaded guilty. He could testify for the government. At the time, former U.S. Attorney Matt Orwig called Campbell's plea significant.
The most difficult thing for the government to do is to try to infer intent of the members of the conspiracy. So if they have someone on the inside, then that's a good development for them.
Price continued showing up at commissioner's court meetings, saying he was as committed as ever to help manage complex county operations from the jail system to Parkland Hospital.
And as the ranking member of the Dallas County Commissioner's Court, I've made decisions that place Dallas County in the top-tier counties across this nation.
Despite the looming federal corruption trial, Price ran for re-election last year. As he campaigned, he maintained he was innocent and said he was not concerned about the charges.
I've been focused ever since. And I'm still focused. I'm still servicing my constituent. I got a reason I have lawyers, and I'm okay with that. And like Paul Harvey said, let's get to the other side of the story.
Price easily defeated three Democratic challengers during last spring's primary and sailed to victory last fall. Among Price's supporters, Dallas County Health and Human Services Director Zachary Thompson.
For 30 years, he's been our man downtown, working hard to make sure the district is taken care of in terms of just being on the ground, working hard.
John Wiley Price has always been up front and in your face to his political challengers and to his colleagues on the commissioner's court. During his campaign last year, he acknowledged the haters in this YouTube video.
He's too confrontational. Really? All my life I've had to fight. And there is a difference between gimmicks and governance.
If Price is found guilty on all counts against him, he could face decades in prison. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
For decades, public schools across North Texas have undergone demographic changes, from integration to immigration and competition from charter schools. Tomorrow, KERA launches a new American graduate series exploring these changes. It's called Race, Poverty, and the Changing Face of Schools. KERA has spent months reporting on life at four high schools, Kimball in Dallas, O.D. Wyatt in Fort Worth, Duncanville High, and Liberty in Frisco. Education reporters Bill Zeeble and Stella Chavez gave Eric Austin a preview.
Now, these schools are all across the metro, but they have at least one thing in common. They've experienced dramatic demographic changes. So does this change how schools interact with the communities around them? I'm interested in the school/neighborhood relationship.
At Liberty, what's interesting there is that they do have a parent group that includes parents who are Muslim. But what I've also noticed is that there are people in the community who've been reaching out to the school. So it's kind of the opposite. The Islamic Center in Frisco, for example, recently hosted an open house, essentially gave a tour of the mosque to the school district. And it was an opportunity for people in the school district to ask questions about the Muslim community, but also for the Muslim community to answer questions about concerns that Muslim students may have today, especially in the current political climate.
Duncanville has taken its championship girls basketball team, and the town has called itself the City of Champions. So they've embraced what the school has managed to accomplish through decades and through all the demographic changes. I hear white folks, black folks, Hispanic folks, and others proud of that. They seem to embrace it.
At O.D. Wyatt, I think the biggest thing is that they're really trying to develop partnerships with people in the community. And you see that at various events. They make a big effort to include these different organizations, these different leaders. And one of the reasons for that is by doing that, they can reach these diverse groups in their school and also reach the parents.
So why should schools tackle these demographic changes or even address them? I'm wondering what's at stake.
Looking at Kimball, the teachers there, the coaches there are worried about school pride. A lot of folks I talked to had graduated from that school and said, even though the school might have been struggling academically, we all had school pride. Those teaching there now are worried that's gone away. So in part, they want to restore student pride in their own school. They want the kids to take pride in the school again because they believe that that gets a kid halfway through. They care about it. They want to graduate from that school. It's similar at Duncanville. They're trying to capitalize on the girls' basketball team, but also citing other academic features of the school where there have been academic successes. And when you've got a school of 4,000 kids, they can cite not just the basketball team, they can cite the extracurricular band. They can cite other aspects of the school to say, here's a reason why you can internalize this and take it personally so that you not only graduate from this school, but that you excel.
If you don't take into consideration the diversity within your school, then you might miss out on the fact that, you know, for example, your Muslim students need to take time out during the day to pray. So they might end up skipping class because they need to find a quiet place to do that. At O.D. Wyatt, if you don't understand that the parents who have brought their children here from, say, some far-flung country, that parent may not have a good understanding of how the school system here works. And if a school doesn't take all of these things into consideration, then ultimately it's the child or the student who could end up failing or who could end up suffering.
Stella Chavez and Bill Zeeble, thanks so much.
Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome.
That was KERA's Bill Zeeble and Stella Chavez talking with Eric Austin. The new American Graduate Series, Race, Poverty, and the Changing Face of Schools, begins tomorrow at 8:22 a.m. during Morning Edition. We start with a look at Kimball High School in the Dallas School District. You can explore the series online at kera.org/schools. And partly cloudy skies are expected for this evening. Should be a low around 53 later on. Tomorrow looks to be mostly sunny, a high in the upper 70s. And tomorrow night, much of the same, mostly clear, low in the lower 50s. It's currently 66 degrees in Dallas, 65 in Fort Worth, 58 in Tyler, and 69 in Wichita Falls. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.